life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. Brian Smith and Anthony Askew here on episode 151 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. And joining us today to talk about Ibichu Minds the House, it's Grace Chan!
Hello!
Hello, Grace. Ah, yes, Ibichu Minds the House, a 1999 satellite-only anime. We'll get to the reasons why it was satellite-only. About a hamster who minds a house, as the title kind of indicates. But before we get to that, we first have our weekly retro recap, where we rewind 10 years and look at a TV anime from 2004, episode by episode, week by week, until one of us gets sick of it. And then we'll start all over again. And this week we watched Desert Punk episode 4, which is Anthony's choice, so he gets to do the synopsis.
I get to do the recap.
And yep. Once again, it proves this is the best show for doing synopsis on.
Yep. It's a quick one. Following last week's episode, Desert Punk's got all of his kit back, it's all repaired, he's got replacement gear for his helmet and whatnot. He's got a nice new sniper rifle, the M40A1, if I recall. And just as he's about to test it out, somebody shoots him with a sniper. And it is the Shimmer sniper, who was basically after him because he wants to have some fame in the kind of mercenary... What would you call it? Triangle? No? Mercenary... Group,
yeah.
I suppose. He wants to kind of get some acclaim for himself by knocking off Desert Punk. Challenges him to a snipe-off. Desert Punk really doesn't have a great deal of choice. I suppose he's angry that he's being shot at. And anyway, off they go. He's trying to find them across the desert. And he keeps getting duped by the Shimmer sniper. Until he comes across a young girl. Who he's very nice to. He gives her some food. She double-crosses him. She's been working with the Shimmer sniper. And Desert Punk does his normal stuff with the balloons and beats him. And that's about it, really.
Well, no, you missed the important thing, is that Tycho, the spotter for the sniper, then demands that Tsunobozu becomes her new master.
Her new teacher, yeah. And she become her apprentice, but we don't see whether he says yes, but she is...
Well, except of course, she's been in the ending credits for the past three episodes. So.
Yeah. I gather she joins the crew of Desert Punk.
Yeah, and eventually in the comic, she takes over the comic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she becomes Tsunobozu, I believe. Oh, much, really? Much later on than what the TV...
Is there a death? Does he die? Or?
I have no idea, but I was just looking up on Wikipedia and I saw about... Many, many volumes later, she's the main character.
Well, that's pretty good. Hmm.
I enjoyed this episode again.
I think I might be sick of this.
You really? What did you like about it this time?
There was nothing not to like. I just feel I've seen it now. You know, I've got the gist of what's going to be happening. If you could guarantee to me that there was going to be a plot-driven... Like an actual story arc come into play now, I would give the next episode a chance.
No. Yeah. I can't guarantee it. I don't think that happens till right at the end, and you won't like it because it's original to the anime and it's very badly written.
I'm off the horse then.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I enjoyed it a lot. I like the sniper stuff, and maybe because that's the sort of character I play in Fallout.
it's not terrible. It's not a terrible show by all means, but. If I'd have been watching this on a weekly basis, I probably would have dropped it as well, because I don't think it's got enough of something to keep me in.
You don't want to find out what that key opens.
What key? Yeah. The twig key?
Yeah.
Nah. If you know, by all means, tell me.
I can't remember. I'm sure they got to it when I was watching it, but... Do you watch any of this, Grace, when it was on at the time?
Yeah, like, I actually remember watching it and feeling the same way as Anthony. It's just kind of like, I know what this is about, and it's not giving me anything new. Like, the jokes are okay, but it's not, like, laugh-out-loud funny, so... I think I just quit after about 4 or 5, because nothing new happened, really.
I think I quit about 10 episodes in.
Oh. See, if you go that far, you might as well just stick with it.
Well, no, that's because people start fan-subbing it, so...
you know it's not good.
And it was many years later before it got an official release.
I see.
So I may carry on watching it on Hulu.
Really?
Yeah, I really love all those American car and insurance adverts and ones trying to pluck at your patriotism.
What, on Hulu?
Yes. Oh, God, American adverts make you appreciate terrible British adverts. Right, I've got to pick something now.
Yeah, it does. You didn't expect this, did you?
I didn't, know. I thought you were enjoying that.
Oh, I wasn't hating it, but it's just not enough.
What can I pick? I know what we'll pick. Paranoia Agent. There we go.
All right, that sounds...
Really set myself up with a lot of work to do, doing the synopsis of that. What a mistake. It's the heat got to me.
But it's not a bad one.
It's not a bad one, but I got to do the synopsis.
Yeah.
What have I done?
Good luck. Yeah. It was all a dream. There you go.
I'll just have to pretend to not like it so I can get out of it. Okay, moving on to the main topic, and that is Evertune Minds the House. The 1999 anime, which ran on DirecTV, which I believe is a satellite channel in Japan, directed by Makoto Mariwaki and based on the manga created by Risa Ito. And this was Grace's choice.
Yes.
So, Grace, tell us why you picked Epichu.
So when I started getting into anime, really watching regularly, there's all these different kinds of anime that stick out in your head. Like, they're good for comedy, good for sci-fi, just show you stuff that you've never seen before. And then there's Evachu. Like, once you've seen it, you'll never forget that you've seen it. It just really sticks out in your head as being, like, massive what the fuck factor, what the fuck am I watching? Can you curse on this, actually? I don't know.
Too late.
Sorry about the F-bombs. But, yeah, so, like, I was shown it one time with a group of giggling guys, and they were just shocked to the core that they watched the whole thing twice in a row.
What, in one sitting?
In one sitting. They were, like, just stunned and amazed. It was just, whoa, what are we looking at here? So, that's why. Yeah, what do you guys think?
I'd seen some of it at the time, I think, and I downloaded all the fan subs of it at the time. I don't think I ever got round to watching all of it. My main memory of it was people including it in AMVs.
Yeah.
And I went on to animemusicvideos.org to find out when the AMV came out that I distinctly remember. And it was the Doki Doki one of Weird Al Yankovic is Harvey the Wonder Hamster, called Ebichu the Wonder Hamster. And that was 2001, February the 15th. Gosh. So I guess the fan subs must have been kicking around in 2000.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've watched it all the way through. And I enjoyed it. I tried to split it up because I didn't want to sit through all of it in one go. But unfortunately, I loaded them all up onto my Nexus to take with me to the wrestling shows I went to on Friday and Saturday. And it turned out that the Nexus only would play three of them.
Oh, so, I thought you were going to have a story about being caught watching it
No, I was only going to watch it in the hotel. It did dawn on me that, oh yes, I can't watch this on the train because I will get strange looks. I mean, that does not stop some people, but it stops me. I enjoyed it a lot. It's of that time, that sort of late 90s where they weren't quite sure. They got all these time slots to put late night and weirder anime on TV, and it hadn't quite settled down into the sort of generic moe mush that it has now. So you got this, and you got all the stuff which aired on Wonderful on TBS, which I think Sexy Commando is the main thing from that I was familiar with. But I've watched other things from it since. Well, yeah, where you got all this sort of gag manga animated in this sort of style. But Anthony, what did you think of it? Having never seen it before.
Never seen it before.
Had you heard of it before?
I'd not heard the title, but I knew the design of the character. But it's the kind of thing, if I saw it in an AMV, chances are it's not the kind of AMV that I want to watch because it's a silly comedy AMV. I don't want to do comedy.
So what movies do you like? The ones with serious Linkin Park songs.
Serious, epic stuff. Not so much comedy. Not so much comedy. But with that said, I suppose it kind of took a while to get into. And I was thinking, oh god, this is going to be a nightmare. I'm going to have to break this up, as you said, Brian. But in the end, it was kind of like, I just want to watch it in one fell swoop. So I did. Part of it I didn't like, there was like some little segments that obviously it's going to be weaker than the rest, but on the whole, I found it very amusing.
Yeah, I think the problem with watching it all at once is it does repeat some of its jokes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we should say what the plot is for people who don't know first. Of what little plot there is. So the film, the TV film, that's giving it highfalutin terms. No, the TV show is these sort of 7-8 minute shorts. It aired as part of a show called Anime Lovers Bubble Hour, also known as Modern Love Silliness, along with something called Kume-chan ga Iku and Little Women in Love, which I think neither of them are as filthy as this show. And so this is about a hamster who is owned by a 25-year-old office lady. And her owner makes the hamster do all the housework. And it's sort of, the hamster sort of interferes in the sex life of the owner.
Very much so.
Her unfaithful boyfriend.
Not in a way that is, like, creepy.
No, in fact... often,
you think?
Well, no, often the hamster sort of gets them aroused.
I never know with anime.
They save that joke to the very last episode.
Oh, it can speak as well, bear in mind.
Oh, yes, it can speak, and everyone can hear it speak.
Yeah, very important point.
Both the owner, the neighbours, the landlord, sort of people out in town, shop owners, people at the train station.
And it's perfectly normal.
Yeah, no one blinks an eyelid. Apparently, no other hamsters can. We see other hamsters, and they just make squeaking noises. Yeah, so those are the three main characters. There's one other character who recurs a fair bit called Markham, who's Ebichu's owner's boyfriend's co-worker, who falls in love with Ebichu.
Very strange.
And you also occasionally get these sequences where Ebichu becomes Ebichu-man, a superhero who helps people out with her psychic sex powers.
Very vulgar.
I think that pretty much covers the show.
But it's kind of the story of a typical modern, like, single 30-something woman in a shitty relationship with a guy.
Yeah.
It just kind of goes in a circle over and over again.
Oh, yeah, I think she's a 25-year-old, I believe.
Is she?
Yes, they specifically.
How old did you say she's older?
Well, yeah, I thought she's older.
You know, she's specifically 25 because she thinks she's over the hill at 25.
Alright, sorry.
Which has slightly moved up because there's been a recent short on the Anime Bansho YouTube channel called Turning Girls, which is all about 28-year-old girls who think they're approaching being over the hill. So things have slightly changed in the past 15 years.
Well, if 25 is over the hill, I should just go kill myself.
Well, yeah, because you get the joke later on with the other characters who sort of are only for the last six or so episodes of the newlywed characters. She's disturbed that they're only 24 years old and they've already settled down. I do like those newlywed characters, though. They basically just dress identical and do everything alike and are all...
Perfect couple.
They are, compared to the main characters we've seen. Apparently, in the comic... Later on, Ebichu's owner and her boyfriend do get married, which seems like a terrible mistake for both of them.
Yeah.
Because he is the worst person. He is awful, always cheating on her. It's not pleasant. Poor office leader.
It is quite impressive how it doesn't become depressing watching loads of episodes at once, though.
Yeah.
Because that was my other worry, was like after watching a few, when you think just how poor this relationship is, then watching 24 episodes of this was going to make you depressed, but they do shake things up a bit.
They are genuinely well written characters as well. I feel like it's like they had this great idea of this domestic kind of downfall, and they're like, oh, we need some humour. Throw in a talking hamster. It'll do the trick, and it does do the trick. I do like that. I like all the characters. all of them.
Yeah, I think it's pretty well balanced. Like, as you said, like, the relationship is so depressing, but then you have this, like, little cute character. It's just, this one character, like, balances the whole other situation. It's really cute. It acts like a child. It cleans out. It's super innocent. And all the slapstick humor is kind of taken out on the hamster as well. So.
Yeah, slapstick humor being brutal head trauma.
Yeah. But it's like, it's funny to see something that cute just have the shit kicked out of it, to be honest. So, I don't know. Just like bloodstains everywhere occasionally.
Now, apparently she was 28 years old in the comic, and they made her 25 in the anime series.
Okay.
For whatever reason.
And
apparently, according to Wikipedia, the anime came about because while they were recording Evangelion, Kotono Mitsuishi, the voice of Misato, was reading the comic and laughing at it. And she showed everybody, and they eventually decided it was worth animating, and she's the voice of the hamster.
Wow.
That is such a great story. As to
yeah, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty amazing.
So was she, like, kind of sat around in, like, a big group during cat, like, reading lines? And,
I guess so, yes.
Doing renditions of different panels of this.
They were sat around doing really serious Evangelion dialogue while she's giggling away. That's pretty cool. But yeah, like, so, like, also coming off the back of Evangelion, like, something super heavy, and then Gainax coming out with this, it's just like, whoa, this is a pretty badass studio. And so they started making loads of shit.
What point do you think Gainax went downhill? I mean, well, I mean, I think the...
Evangelion?
I mean, the complete fall has come after Panty Stockinging Girl to Belt, when everybody who did that left to make Trigger, pretty much, so...
I can't even remember the name of the series. I can just...
So after this, we had Maro Hamatic came after this.
Oh, yeah.
Robot Maid show. Then a Benobashi.
Benobashi was okay, but the ending was just like,
I'm the one guy who likes the ending, and if you want to hear me argue that, you can listen to our Benobashi podcast.
What was the ending again? I don't even remember.
That he makes everything right with magic in the end.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I can't remember my thoughts. It's been that long.
I remember watching that going, why did I expect a good ending? This is from Gainax.
Petite Princess Yuchi, or Yuchi.
Can't remember that one.
Melody of Oblivion. This is around the time this is where, because animation of Ebichu was done by Group Tack, and this is where you start getting JC staff and Shaft doing things in the world. In a row, rather. This Ugly and Yet Beautiful World. He Is My Master.
Yeah, kind of ran there.
You should have hung on for one more show, Grace, and then you got Gurren Lagann.
Oh, yeah, everyone was like, oh, my God, Gurren Lagann. It's like, no, I've been burnt enough by this stupid studio. I'm not going to watch it anymore.
No, you should get on Gurren Lagann. The only things left worth watching are Gurren Lagann and Panty and Stocking after that.
In Magical Wars.
Thumbs down.
And I'm kidding.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't like that either.
No, I know I didn't.
But yeah, this was... I don't even know if people talk about this in reference to Gainax, because those, and particularly those other ones, as part of Modern Love Silliness, are also involved. Gainax are involved, and those ones are talked about even less because they don't have a foul-mouthed hamster in them.
What a load of rubbish, eh? is the perfect show to watch in a group of people?
Yeah,
it is the perfect show.
Get a few drinks.
Yeah, get a few drinks. I don't know, late night at a con, chuck this in one of the screening rooms, you get a hoot.
Except you wouldn't do that now, because they won't show fan subs, so.
That's true.
So somebody will have to license this. I get, but then again, it seems odd that no one's licensed it, being a Gainax show.
Well, it's so goddamn dirty, and they think cartoons are for kids, so it's like...
It does at times shock me with how vulgar it is. You think, like, right, this is as far as it's going to go. And then it'll just go above and beyond.
You can tell that it was censored on TV. Because I'm still watching the DVD rips, the same as I am. Because in some cases, they will draw a penis. In some cases, they just won't bother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
often, with, in fact, I remember in one case the same scene where a guy goes from having no penis to suddenly having his penis reappear.
He worked miracles.
Well.
Is that the Abitu Man one as well?
I can't remember.
I'm sure
I was thinking of one of the Markham scenes.
Right, okay. He is a... Of all the characters, there's a talking hamster, and this guy is the weirdest. He's in love with Abitu-chan. And why? Like, it's funny.
No,
it's definitely
reason.
Funny, but it's just weird.
The whole Dandan thing is so weird. I think the weirdest thing that stood out in my head was, like, the robot role play that they did.
Oh, yeah.
I
thought that was a weird dream sequence, but it's not.
No, Mark.
I was laughing at that.
Mark has the weird dream sequence episode. That was just hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
The way his dream sequences kept on falling in into each other.
It was like Inception.
Yes, except with more ejaculation.
Yeah. Considerably more.
Inception would have been more fun if they'd invaded somebody's wet dream.
Oh.
Oh,
this is going down the drain.
Probably should be porn. That sounds like porn with a plot. Does that exist?
Well, those porn parodies are popular. I'm surprised they've not reached Inception yet. Make a pun around that name quite easily.
Why would that pun be?
Ah, oh, it's too hot for my brain to calculate.
Oh, it's too hot, right. I'm pleased this was as vulgar as what it was, because had it been very typical comedy with a little, you know, creature, kind of like Sergeant Frog, but cause I was expecting it to be like Sergeant Frog, but a lot more innocent, until I then heard it was very sexual.
So you do like it, or you don't like it?
I was only joking when before we started. I said, grumbling, but I enjoyed it a lot.
He's grumbled enough times that I believed him, you see. I thought it was going to be a Dead Leaves episode all over again.
Oh, no, don't worry about that. Or Millennium Actress.
Well, yeah, at least you didn't think of it.
No, I didn't like that.
Think up your own plot for this.
It wouldn't be possible. My innocent brain wouldn't stretch as far as the creators of this.
But I think one of my favourite episodes is the picnic one, where they managed to not... Everybody gets head trauma by the end of the episode.
That's when Abitu starts drinking.
Yes. I'd like the first episode with Markan with the Mahjong game, where Abitu is inexplicably really good at playing Mahjong. Because in other episodes they explain that she's only got a 3 gram brain, which is why she's not very intelligent. Because she's a hamster.
Oh, God.
But yeah, I think there's a few downsides. I think that you get almost like 3 stories in a row with either Abitu or her owner being ill.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can kind of forgive that, because it's like, well, illnesses pass on, so I guess is this a linear thing?
Yeah, and I think they overdo the gag, and this may just because I've watched them all in a row. Maybe weekly it wouldn't be so much of a bother.
Hmm.
But the gag where Abitu just... claims that her owner doesn't do all these things in public.
Actually, I find that quite amusing.
I found it amusing the first couple of times, but when it kept on happening, it was. Mm. I think the last one is when the heavy breather rings up. Like, by that time,
is that the
that's
pizza
my
shop
favorite. That's my favorite.
No, not the pizza shop one. Not no, the pizza shop heavy breather is pretty good. But.
He is good. I think my favourite bit, and it really had me laughing, is when Abitu starts dreaming. Like I can't remember why. There's no particular reason for him to be dreaming, but he's lying on their bed. He's laying on office lady, and he sees like a mountain. It's got a raisin on it, and he's playing with her breasts, and then he sees a turtle. And I just knew straight away where it was going, and I just started cracking up. And yep. He's touching the guy's penis. That was just...
Abitu is female.
Abitu, yes, yes. At first I thought it was a male character, but then yes, it is actually a girl. But yeah, I thought
it would seem less innocent if it was a dude than if it was being a girl. know. Gets away with more.
Good. It does. It does.
Plus, it's the voice of Sailor Moon doing it.
Oh, does she do Sailor Moon as well?
Yeah.
What?
Okay.
Oh my.
Yeah, that was. I mean, that was part of the stunt casting in Evangelion. It's like you get the voice of Sailor Moon to play Masato. It's like casting against type.
Jesus, I didn't know that. My brain has just melted a little bit.
And she's concurrently be heard straining her voice trying to do the Sailor Moon voice on the current Sailor Moon cartoon.
Oh no.
They recast all the other Sailor Scouts, but she's still doing...
Have you been watching that?
I watched the first episode. I did not care for it. It just made me want to watch the original series. Because the original series has got more fun animation and better character designs.
Mm.
Yeah, the faces on the new ones are just like, ugh.
I got giant heads. Foreheads. It's really off-putting. And they just don't have like the same expression. Sort of varied expression and reaction faces that the originals got.
Yeah, they kind of come across like Barbie doll-ish or something, not like actually representing people.
Yeah. I think Barbie is not hitting it right on the head. They're sort of, you could take that design and easily make it into a toy, and they'd look exactly the same. Okay, anything else I wanted to say about this show? Apart from that, you should seek it out and watch it.
You should. You should watch it as a big group of friends or enemies, depending on...
And see how many you offend with the...
And take notes, guys.
Who from? The hamster? Or
from Everton Man.
Mark Markon. That's who you need to be watching. Don't do it like this. Oh, he is horrible.
Yeah, he's probably the nicest one of the characters.
Oh no, don't forget that other girl who's got flowers around her all the time.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The one who turns up to cook, offers the lady a nice meal when she's ill. She's the nicest. Yeah, she's completely innocent.
There's one other anime based on a comic by the same creator, and that is Higepio, which is not obscene. It is about a chick who has a beard.
Okay.
That's pretty obscene.
And who can talk. And is like the last...
She has a beard and a voice.
Yeah, it's a, like a chicken chick, not a...
Oh, right, okay.
Not a female, not that lady. Some chick. this looks bizarre.
I misunderstood.
I've watched all of it. It's pretty good.
Is it as good as this, though?
I think it's more varied. So.
I probably wouldn't like it then.
And it kind of, it does try to sort of explain why there's a talking chick with a beard, but it doesn't really become part of the storyline. But it does have some similar jokes where the chick is helping out in a bakery to the absolutely poor food hygiene when Epichu is managing a pizza parlour.
That's great.
There is a hamster just sitting in a bowl of dough needing it. Oh, I was just reminded by my all-time favourite joke in the show, though, is when they go to the beach and Ebichu's master makes her put the suntan lotion on, and you get all these scenes of Ebichu sort of kneading the suntan lotion into her, and then she comes back with sunburnt except for tiny little hamster paw prints all over her body.
Oh, she means well. It's the hamster. She means well.
She does, but she's at the bottom end of a very abusive relationship.
They're all in abusive relationships.
In fact, my favourite joke is when Ebichu tells the office lady that imagine if she transformed into a male version of the hamster with a huge, and obviously you assume penis, but she means huge brown spots. Across his body, and you see this horrible human-like hamster. But I did like that a lot.
But it's, as to the joke, is how into it the office lady is. And
oh, she is. She's getting hot and flustered. Yeah.
This description of a human-sized male hamster that she's giving her. Right. Any final comments on the show before we move on to my game?
Final comments. If you have not seen this, you should see it, and all the episodes are on YouTube anyway, so it's really easy.
I highly recommend it. I like these short shows in general anyway. And if you watch this, I recommend Turning Girls on Anime Bancho. It's not as filthy as this, but it's sort of a similar aged characters going through similar stuff, but in a more modern setting.
Actually, have you ever seen a comedy that's more filthy than this?
That's why I was trying to think that. I don't think I have.
I don't think...
Not directly
filthy. Anything, yeah.
No. Lots of things do this much in innuendo, but often this sort of makes fun of innuendo, doesn't it, with the games that the quiz Ebichu does. And
this is filthy, but not in a kind of, like, graphic way. So it's, like, totally watchable. But I'm pretty sure there's more graphic kind of stuff.
Oh, yes. In terms of TV anime, yeah, this is probably the filthiest thing I've seen.
Best you'll guess. It's true. Imagine if Puyo Puyo did this.
Oh.
In fact, I don't want to demonize.
The closest that gets is the boob cake in one episode. But Puyo Puyo is generally innocent. The other thing, though, is blooming fan sub notes on some of these fan subs.
10 minutes long? Some of them are ridiculous?
Yeah.
And sometimes they have to explain every joke to you.
I did just skip them.
And every reference.
What puts the humour in the jokes when someone explains it to you?
Yeah.
Immense detail.
Really made it funnier. Right, okay. It's time for a game of... a quiz I haven't thought of a name for. Basically, I'm going to give you the name of an anime pet.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do is tell me what show it's from. And you'll get 2 points for that. If you want a clue, you'll get 1 point.
I have a feeling I'm going to lose.
Well, let's find out. Anthony is on a winning streak.
I am on a winning streak. I don't plan on...
He'll constantly remind you. Okay, so yes, 2 points if you can guess without a clue, and the clue is always the type of animal it is.
Okay.
So, Grace, question number one, Momo.
Cat?
Well, not a cat, do you want the clue?
Clue?
It's a flying squirrel.
Fuck. Yeah, sorry. That's a samurai shampoo.
You are correct, 1 point.
So if we get it without the clue, do we get 2 points?
Yes.
Oh.
Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Tonton.
Clue, please.
He's a pig. Oh. I think it's a he. Or she's a pig. I can't remember.
No, I won't be. I was going to say Dragon Ball, but no, I'll say Dragon Ball. I know it's not, but I don't
know. No, it's Naruto. It's the ninja pig from Naruto.
Oh.
Okay, Grace. Ryo Oki.
Clue?
It is a cabbit, a cross between a cat and a rabbit.
Oh, jeez. No idea.
Tenchi Muyo.
Oh, we're not going to pass it?
No, not with these two.
Oh, I knew that one.
Okay, Anthony. Puar. Puar. Oh,
that is Dragon Ball, isn't it?
It is.
Yes.
2 points.
2 points.
Shape-changing cat. Okay, Grace. Gigi.
Oh, this is familiar. Clue.
It's a black cat.
Easy!
No. From Ghibli. Just one of Ghibli's songs.
Yep. Which one?
Kiki's Delivery Service.
You are correct.
Oh.
And I had JoJo's on my mind. Like when I first wrote down, I wrote down Kiki's Bizarre Adventure.
that
I'd watch. Okay, yeah. Anthony, Buta.
Buta. In fact, I don't want to say it in case it's wrong, but give us a clue.
I believe he's a warthog.
Oh, okay.
He's either a warthog or a wild boar of some kind.
Buta. Is that Princess Mononoke?
No, it's Gurren Lagann.
Oh, okay. Oh, that thing, yeah.
That thing.
Okay. Yeah. Grace, Pen-Pen.
Evangelion.
You are correct. Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Hamtaro.
Hamtaro.
That is correct.
Yes, 2 points.
Okay, Grace. Maya.
Ah, them a clue?
It is a Iriomote cat.
Oh, from... what? Come on. Iriomote? I have no idea.
It's from Azumanga Daioh. The wild cat.
Oh, that's... yeah.
Okay, Anthony, Yun.
Can I have a clue, please?
Yun is a wall penguin.
Wall penguin?
A like
wall.
W-A-L-L?
Oh. Yes, a wall penguin. A baby wall penguin at that.
Oh my.
Is it Polar Bear Cafe?
No, Toriko.
Oh.
The clue is that there's no such animal as a wall penguin.
Well, I don't really know.
Grace, Ayn.
Cowboy Bebop.
You are correct.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Anthony, Chuck.
Can I have a clue, please?
I guess he's maybe a dog. He's green. I'll give you a colour as well.
Oh, okay. Green dog. I have no idea. No idea.
He is from Panty and Stocking with Garterbelt. He's their pet.
That thing.
Okay, Grace. Mew Mew.
Oh. Clue?
He's a cat slash intergalactic telephone.
Cat slash intergalactic telephone?
Yes.
Ooh, I have no idea.
He's from Fooly Cooly.
Ah! Okay.
Anthony, Kero.
Sergeant Frog.
No.
Oh.
Oh, I'll give you the clue, because I gave Grace the clue on one she got wrong.
Okay.
He's a winged lion.
Oh, Is it from Log Horizon?
No, Cardcaptor Sakura.
Damn it. I know the thing. I don't know why I was thinking of the griffin from Log Horizon.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, he's kind of a griffin. Okay, Grace. Menchi.
Menchi. Ah, oh, this sounds familiar. Clue?
He's dog slash emergency food supply.
Dog slash emergency food supply. This sounds so familiar. Not from Azumanga Daioh or anything.
No, no. XL Saga.
Ah! Okay.
Okay, Anthony. Luna.
Sailor Moon.
You are correct.
Yes, 2 points on the board.
Brought you to a draw.
Yes.
What?
Grace. Meowth.
Meowth.
Oh my gosh.
Pokemon.
You are correct.
Ooh.
Anthony. Mokona.
I'm going to have to take the clue.
It's a white rabbit type thing.
That's great.
I have no idea.
That's from Ray Earth. Okay, Grace.
Yes.
Mokona.
Clue.
It's a black rabbit type thing.
Mokona, the black rabbit type thing. Not a clue.
That is from Holic. And final one to you, Anthony. If you can get this, you can draw.
Yes, come on.
Mokona.
Did you just say that?
Yes, the last three are all Mokona.
I need to have the full show to draw, don't I?
Yes, you need the show without a clue. But I think the clue, there's a good chance the clue may be the same as the previous two.
Okay.
So, what other show, apart from Holic and Ray Earth, has Mokona been in?
Soul Leader.
No, Tsubasa Reservoir Chronicle.
Oh, damn it.
Grace, you win.
Oh, oh my god.
Anthony's winning streak.
8-6.
Yay. Is that a good thing?
That is. Well, it's pretty good. It's not great.
Did all right.
How did you do at home, listeners?
That was such a quiz. That's an amazing quiz that you came up with.
It's not as good as episode 150, which I haven't put out yet, which is Batto or Gatto, which was...
Oh, that was...
name, I gave them names of... repeating people who've heard that episode. But if you haven't heard it, go back and listen just for this quiz. Not to mention top quality commentary on Ghost in the Shell. So I was naming characters played by the guy who played Batto or cakes, and they had to tell me which was which. Whether it was Batto or Gatto. It's not as easy as you think it is.
That sounds really, really hard, actually. But, yeah, props for the quiz. Yay! And to me, the winner. Yay!
Okay, Grace. If you want people to find you on the internet, where can they find you? If you don't want people to find you, just stay quiet.
You can find me on Twitter. I'm CrackyCan, although nobody will be able to spell that. I also made a new YouTube channel recently called Chinese Irish, one word. And go there and subscribe to everything that I do and watch it 100 million times.
Okay, Anthony, where can people find you on the internet?
excuse me, you can go to Twitter, which is AntAskew, A-N-T-A-S-K-E-W, and YouTube, hopefully there'll be an episode up shortly, if you search Adventure Bastards.
That's awesome.
Watch Call of Cthulhu plays and whatnot.
Any new ones up?
I don't think there is. I know Perrin, who's doing it, has been away. He's been travelling around and doing all sorts of stuff like that.
All sorts of rubbish.
But it's on the Lockdoor Puzzle channel. So, yeah, last one was a month ago, so it's up his game. Get with it.
And you can find me on Twitter at awesome_engine. I really had to think about that because my brain is sweating out my ears.
Exhaustion.
And that as well, walking around London.
From carrying boxes.
Clapping at wrestling shows.
We were with Gary?
On the Saturday, yeah, Gary and his mates were down as well.
Good.
It was crazy stuff, even though a guy dressed as a lion, did not do his finishing move properly and almost broke his back.
Oh, really? Whoa, explain.
He tried to do a shooting star press and caught his foot on the turnbuckle coming down.
Whoa.
Sort of bent the wrong way in the middle.
Oh, was he crippled on the floor for ages?
No, he was rolling. He got himself up so he could walk around. And he was.
Did everybody in the audience know that it was?
Well, people, yes. The crowd went dead. People generally already think he's not a great wrestler.
Oh.
That kind of confirmed it.
Harsh.
That would be something worth going for. This kind of reaffirms going to see wrestling shows live, I think.
Did you go to the Dublin UFC?
I did not. It was unbelievably expensive, but I watched the UFC in an Irish pub for the first time, and it was crazy.
Yeah, I heard the crowd was crazy.
Yeah, there was a local kind of satire newspaper that said Dublin was treated not only to a UFC in Dublin, but there was 153 free live bouts on the streets afterwards. It's because people went crazy and started fighting.
Well, that happens. I mean, people have fights in the stands, don't they, at UFC shows?
Really?
Yeah, people just get carried away with alcohol and real violence.
Yeah, looking at violence, and then they're like, oh, I could totally
do that.
And
but you don't really get that at wrestling shows because people know it's fake to begin with. So, and also because the things are more ridiculous than real fights. So you think, I can't do that. I'd break my back.
Even the pros nearly do.
Okay, and as always, you can find this podcast on dynamitingthebrain.com, on facebook.com/dynamitingthebrain, and on iTunes. So why not subscribe and write a review so that more people can find out about the adorable cute animals that are Dynamiting the Brain. Goodbye!
Bye-bye!
Bye-bye!
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite.